You're listening to the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is the Wednesday edition of the show. Tom Gazzola alongside Rob Leano once again from Locked On Coyotes. Sarah Avampato will be likely back next week, wishing her well as she takes care of some things. Rob, it's been an interesting week since we spoke in the National Hockey League. Some teams really playing well, surprisingly. I look at Chicago and they're at the top of the Central Division, just behind Tampa and Florida. Granted, they've played more games than a lot of their teams in that division. We saw the benching in Columbus of Patrick Laine just a few games into his stint in Columbus. So maybe all is not well after the trade. And then, of course, Pierre-Luc Dubois getting into his first game as a member of the Winnipeg Jets, taking on the Calgary Flames on Tuesday night. Arizona Coyotes, they are dormant right now as teams go through their, you know, 3-4 day windows with time between games. And certainly the Vegas Golden Knights, some interesting developments there. Rob, this was a team that is sitting at the top of the West Division. It was humming along just nicely, has not lost in regulation at home. They've won 3 straight. They win last night against the Anaheim Ducks 5-4. And then all of a sudden, in the post-game press conference, everything's called off. What's going on? What's your understanding? How concerning is this? What do you make of this whole situation?
Well, I personally find this really interesting because I think what happened even during the game, I think Tomas Nosek was actually pulled off before the third period, and he did not come back for the rest of the game. Whether or not that's related, I think, is still unknown. But you can kind of put two and two together at this point, given they canceled that post-game press conference, and now that they canceled practice today, canceled media availability, it seems very likely that all signs are pointing towards Vegas having to go through another shutdown, have to be off another week. It's ridiculous.
What does that tell you? Like, is it just, you know, it's inevitable? Or are you concerned with the way teams are handling COVID protocols? Is it indicative of those certain regions of the country? Because, I mean, Vegas seems to be in Nevada, seems to be handling COVID better than, let's say, Florida. But what is this telling you in regard to they just came out of a shutdown? They might be looking at another one. We've already had 34 games postponed. A lot of these are in the Central, and we're scratching our heads going, guys, can't we figure this out?
Yeah. I mean, I personally think it goes with, these teams properly following the NHL protocols and making sure all the monitoring and all the testing is done properly. And you know, I'm not saying, you know, Vegas or, you know, Minnesota previously wasn't following those. But there's got to be questions to be asked if they have to go through, Vegas going through potential second shutdown. That's the way I have to put it. There's questions to be asked at that point. Are they following the proper testing? Are they following the proper monitoring? Honestly, I can't. That part, I really can't answer.
So, we see the Minnesota Wild is postponed. We see the Colorado Avalanche; they're postponed. The league has been doing some tap dancing with the scheduling. I'm sure they're already eating into that buffer week that they built into the schedule. And you know, we saw the other day, I think it was 27 games announced were rescheduled. And that is insane. Are we at the point where we should be really concerned about the remainder of the season? Or, Rob, are we getting to the point where it's like, hey, the majority of these guys on these teams have gotten it, and it might just become a mini herd immunity situation in the NHL, but they got there in the worst possible way? Are we starting to teeter to that direction here, do you think?
Well, I think the problem is where if they're going through the protocol that they have, and they isolate certain players, and it keeps spreading. I'm not like it could get to eventually the point where you know a player maybe can get it for the second time. I really can't know that it. So I can't really you know buy into that kind of thinking. The NHL has a lot to think about when it comes to looking at all these players getting COVID. I will say that their thinking ahead in scheduling is working working fine, at least in my perspective. For example, they look at St. Louis and Arizona, like, you guys are doing fine. We'll go ahead and have you play 7 times in a row because, might as well. You guys are doing just fine, and we'll worry about the other teams later.
I'll throw this at you. Do you think we're going to see, it's just a waiting game now, but do you think we're going to see more positives with the Golden Knights? And then subsequently, are we going to start seeing positives from the Anaheim Ducks? And are you of the mind that this is becoming a transmission on the ice type scenario when it comes to COVID? Because we're hearing about all these strains. And I know the NHL references a CDC and NFL led study from the spring of last year saying transmission on the field of play is very rare. But we're comparing football to hockey here. Hockey, you're in a closed environment. It's colder and guys are closer together. You can't spread out. It's not like the players are wearing masks on the benches like they did in the NFL when they changed their protocols midway through the past season. Do you foresee us talking about the Anaheim Ducks next week being postponed potentially and maybe the Vegas Golden Knights also being postponed?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a possibility for Anaheim. I believe also last night, Anaheim had to cancel their media availability like part of the way through when they found out Vegas did. So it's like, yeah, we got to do it too. We got to go through the contact tracing to figure out if how close that was, and we'll test those people that were close with Tomas Nosek or whoever from Vegas might have tested positive or had inconclusive tests, and they got to go figure things out from there because if they find anything that could have been that transmissible, then yeah, the Anaheim Ducks probably could see themselves in a little mini shutdown as well.
The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser. 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry bar chia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. And of course, that accompanies the 12 original flavors, which includes my personal favorite, salted caramel. There's also double chocolate, toffee almond, peanut butter brownie. The list goes on and on and on. The bars, they're covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Built bars are healthy. Lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Today's flavor profile will be cookies and cream, 17 grams of fat, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more out of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Locked On NHL podcast. Tom Gazzola joined by special guest co-host Rob Leano from Locked On Coyotes, talking all things Central and West divisions on this Wednesday. Sarah Avampato will return likely next week. Wishing Sarah all the best. All right, Rob, what's going on with your Coyotes? They've rattled off 3 straight wins. Just when they get hot, the league says, you know what? Our schedule makers gave you a window of days off. Enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, those 3 wins, huge wins for Arizona over St. Louis. And it's funny because I think the last time I was on here, I told you to watch out for Christian Dvorak. And
yeah.
And well, look at what he's doing. He's on a point streak himself. He was had himself a goal on Monday's game, and as well as the game winner in the shootout. He's been impressive on top of, you know, the other guys, Clayton Keller, Connor Garland, everything like that. Arizona's been doing well. They've been a lot more consistent, a lot more confident than I thought. And the best part is these 4 days off, I think it's going to be beneficial for them. They had a couple guys that were off of injury, like Drake Kajula. Lawson Krause was out for a little bit. He came back Monday. And the big part, Oliver Ekman-Larsson. He is on the tail end of his injury and seems to be likely to be ready for the end of the week. And that's a huge comeback for him and for the Coyotes to have him back.
Rob, what's going on between the pipes for the Coyotes? Because now we're seeing them in the mix as of this recording, fourth in the division. That's playoffs. And you look at the teams behind them, it's Anaheim, Minnesota, San Jose, and LA. I think it's easy to say LA's not going to claw their way out of this hole. They're still rebuilding. San Jose, aging team, limited success. Minnesota is the wild card to me. We know that they are postponed right now due to COVID. We talked about that earlier. Anaheim's played more games than anyone in the division, and they're kind of in the mix there. They're tied with Arizona points-wise. They played two more games than the Coyotes. So I'm getting a lot of people on my show here in Edmonton, because goaltending's a situation here, saying, hey, just get Darcy Kemper out of Arizona. They'll trade Darcy Kemper. Of course they'll trade him. Arizona's going nowhere. Well, here we are. Coyotes sitting fourth in the division. We're almost a quarter of the way through the season. You know, the stretch drive is going to be here before we even know it. Is Kemper even on the market? Would the Coyotes be willing to let him go? How's Antti Raanta's play been? Where is Aiden Hill at in all of this? If you've got people around the league from different fan bases saying, we need a goalie, let's go get Darcy Kemper from Arizona, what would you tell them?
I'd kind of laugh a little bit at first, because
good.
With how well Darcy Kemper is playing, I don't think Bill Armstrong would even, even bat an eye and just like, are you kidding me? I'm not going to trade Darcy Kemper. He's playing so well for us. I'm not even going to consider it. In the case of the other goaltenders, Antti Raanta has been off and on with injury. It's really hard to tell, where he's at this point. And I know the other day he was not backing up because of a personal day off or whatever it was, just to kind of, get his legs back. So Aiden Hill was back up then. And so, I mean, if there is any talk of a trade of a goaltender, it would be either one. I can't say which, because I'm a huge Aiden Hill fan. I watched him in Tucson, and I'll say he's good.
Mm-hmm.
He is good. He can be, I can easily see him as like trade bait. Get some, get him out and bring in someone who, another talented, forward or another talented defenseman to bring in to add the depth for Arizona to try to make a playoff run. Because right now, if three goaltenders deep, Arizona is doing absolutely fine.
You wouldn't believe how often people just text into the post-game show after an Oilers loss and go, just go get Kemper. No big deal. Send Arizona a package. And I'm glad that you can bring it up, Arizona's point of view on this, because especially here, people are so detached and don't even think about the Coyotes, and just they basically think of them as fodder. And it's kind of silly to an extent. So I really wanted to get your thoughts on that whole notion that the Coyotes would just be willing to wave bye-bye to Darcy Kemper when they're right in the thick of things. They want to make the postseason, and here they are a quarter of the way through, and they're actually making a play for it. So it's there to be had for the Coyotes, and to anybody, especially in Edmonton or any other market, thinking, hey, you can just go get Darcy Kemper if you're looking for a goalie. Not so much. All right, let's shift focus now over to the Central Division. Tampa is rolling 8-1-1 in its last 10. Florida sitting second in the Central Division through 10 games, 7-1-2. Does that surprise you at all, Rob, considering that Carolina is still in that division, Columbus is still in that division, Dallas is 5-2-3 through 10 games, They were the team that went to the Stanley Cup final last year to take on Tampa. How much of a surprise are the Florida Panthers to you?
I'll say I'm surprised, but like I'm not as surprised as maybe other people are. Like, I've watched Florida grow over the last couple of seasons, and like, they're slightly getting better. I know when they went to go pick up a couple goaltenders, Sergei Bobrovsky was not the guy, but to see that, see him play there, it really is a toss up for me. I want to figure out this Florida team. Like, do I like them, or should I just not be convinced because some of the rest of the teams in the Central is just not it for me.
Mm-hmm. They fly under the radar. I think Huberto is great. Obviously, Sasha Barkov is tremendous, and those guys are propelling this team. It's going to be interesting to see if they can maintain this. And I think, you know, it might be catching some people by surprise outside of Miami and the Miami area, but, you know, whatever fans that they do have in Florida are probably saying, I told you so, this team is going to be good. And we're seeing the fruits of that labor and all the pain that they've gone through and the suffering over the last few years of a rebuild. Okay, I'll bring it to this. Chicago Blackhawks, though, sit right there with the Florida Panthers. They're at 16 points, third in the division. They've played more games than most other teams in the division. 6-4-4. They've won three in a row. Are they for real, or will they be caught by the Carolinas and the Dallases of the division?
That's another hard question, because I think, right now, I really think that, you know, a lot of this Chicago team is being held and carried by none other than Patrick Kane. Anytime I watch a Chicago Blackhawks game and I see Patrick Kane on the ice, I instantly think something's gonna happen. I always consider him probably the best American-born player currently, like right now in the NHL. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm making any hot takes and, you know, burning down any houses saying that. He is a phenomenal player. And, you know, I'm looking at some of the other stats here. You know, Alex DeBrincat, he was a guy that I think has been growing several, you know, steps over the couple years, and he's doing well too. This is a good Chicago team. I won't say they're a great Chicago team right now, but I think it helps, again, that, like we were saying earlier, the other bits of the Central was just not as strong, you know, those bottom teams, that maybe it might be helping them out right now.
Yeah, I think the big surprise for me, the guys you mentioned absolutely carry the most weight and do all the heavy lifting, but I thought their downfall would be goaltending, Malcolm Subban, Colin Delia, and they got the Finn Kevin Lankinen. And they seem to be putting it together. I don't know if it lasts. I don't think it does. I'm not going to lie to you, Rob. I think that they will fall a little bit. I think the fact that they have played more games than most teams in the division is a factor, especially when you spot Carolina and Dallas four games and they're breathing down your neck. You know, Carolina 2 points back, Dallas 3 points back. I think they make up that ground on the Chicago Blackhawks. I saw some of my friends and peers and colleagues covering the Hawks who said this team's for real. I say tap the brakes on that. Yes, they've won three in a row, but there are better teams in the division, I think, that will catch them. And even by this time next week, Rob, I think we're talking about a completely flipped script in the Central Division. Bet online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to use promo code LOCKEDON. The Locked On NHL podcast with Todd Gazzola and Rob Leano. Rob filling in for Sarah Avampato. We're talking about the Central Division right now. Huge trade. Pierre-Luc Dubois goes to Winnipeg. Jack Roslovic and Patrick Laine in Columbus. Laine has scored a bunch of goals in his few games in Columbus. Roslovic's been good. But we see John Tortorella staple Laine to the bench. Not for poor play, Rob, for mouthing off a coach. What do you make of that? Do you think that this is going to be a sign of turbulent times, or will they patch this up and everything's going to be just peachy and rosy and happy in Columbus between Line A and the Jackets? And what do you make of the way John Tortorella is handling his new superstar?
You know, I'm kind of laughing a little bit because I was actually, I pointed to that last week of, you know, whether or not it would be a good fit in Columbus if you'd get along with John Tortorella and the coaching staff. And, you know, if he's getting benched that early because mouthing off against this, I don't know. It could be a sign that he might not be enjoying his time in Columbus so far. But, you know, I don't know. It could change. Obviously, it's only been, you know, like a week. It's hard to tell at that point if that continues, if he continues to have that kind of, you know, mentality or those kind of mouthing offs with coaches. Yeah, it's going to stay that way, no doubt about it. But, I mean, he's playing well, and he's, you know, if he has a good chemistry with the teammates, I think he can, you know, patch things up and, you know, at least make something good out of it.
We know Patrick Laine likes to speak his mind. He's a pretty carefree, easygoing guy. People up here in Canada, especially Winnipeg, always appreciated his candor in interviews. And I feel like that is something that carries over into the locker room, and he's got a swagger to him. And then you've got John Tortorella, who has a bite to him. And those types of mentalities might clash. We're seeing it already. I'm wondering if Patrick Laine was in the wrong. I know that there's a drop off when it comes to generally assistant coaches, when it comes to respect from some players, not all. But maybe with Patrick Laine already sputting off, that's not a good sign, not a good indicator. I think him still being a very young player in the National Hockey League, despite the body of work he's put together already, I wonder if he kind of realizes or says, I'm in the wrong. I shouldn't have done that. I need to be better. And he tries to patch that up. Or if this turns into something that is an ongoing situation. And it's, to me, surprising at least to see how steadfast the organization is in standing behind Jarmo Kekalainen and John Tortorella's approach. It's a very hard line approach, and they want their guys to fall in line. We saw Cam Atkinson saying, hey, I've been in that position. I've been benched before. But I think when he was talking about that, he was referring to lack of performance and quality of play as opposed to getting into it with an assistant coach, you know, in either the locker room or on the bench. Maybe it's a concern. Maybe we're reading too much into it, but it's fun to see the fireworks, certainly. And I'm curious to see how this story evolves. Rob, I'll ask you this. What are you looking forward to seeing in the next few days here in the Central and in the West Division? I know your Coyotes are postponed. They're supposed to be taking on the Avalanche, but what are you kind of watching or keeping an eye on for in the next few days here?
Well, at least in the Central, obviously, the team I've been always keeping an eye on is the Dallas Stars. Seeing where, like, how they can like get back to where they are. Like, looks like right now they are, you know, fourth in point percentage. I want to see, are they gonna, like, whether or not they are for real. And that's something that we were kind of talking about before, like last week. And then again over in the West, I have to look at my Coyotes again and see, you know, how far can they take this new built confidence I see in the last week or so, and, you know, can they win another three against St. Louis, especially at home? Those three games will be at home, and then after that they're up against the Kings and then the Ducks, so their schedule looks good ahead of them. So I want to see how far they can take it and where they can go from there.
Coyotes 3-2-1 at home. The Blues very good on the road, 4-1-0. So when those two teams lock horns again, it'll be interesting to see. Like you said, Arizona looking for a fourth consecutive win when they do get back on the ice. Yeah, crazy to see 7 games in a row against the same team, but I think that's just part of this crazy zany situation we've been handling and dealing with for the last year or so. Oh boy, man, it's going to be a wild ride to the finish. We're already kind of ramping up. We're getting the semblances of the stretch drive coming into play, and we're only a quarter of the way through the season. It's going to be crazy to see how the things progress. We'll keep an eye on what goes on with the Golden Knights, certainly, and the Anaheim Ducks, as they had to postpone their post-game media conferences on Tuesday night. A lot of concern around the National Hockey League when it comes to COVID, certainly. And one final note on the Dallas Stars, Taylor Fadun put on waivers. That about does it for this edition of Locked On NHL. Hey, Rob, what's coming up for you? Where can people hear from you and follow you?
Yeah, so I'll be, I'll be hosting all week long on Locked On Coyotes. I'll be covering the Tucson Roadrunners. They got a week against the Ontario Reign coming up. And then, you know, again, we got more Coyotes Blues. I'll be talking about that all week long. And yeah, I'll be on Locked On Coyotes. I am at RobLiano1, and the Coyotes Twitter is at @LO_Coyotes. I'll be doing as much coverage as I can leading up to this weekend.
Fantastic stuff. You keep an eye on those desert dogs in those lovely Kachina jerseys. I'm Tom Gazzola for Rob Liano saying thanks for tuning in to this edition of Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.